Well, I get all kinds of calls off PTL. Strange calls. Lake Mary, Florida. Here's a couple. They request prayer for their marriage. You don't need prayer for your marriage. You need to straighten it out. And that's part of what is I call Christian garbage. Nobody needs prayer for their marriage. You need to get your head together and decide whether or not... Christians waste more time praying about crap. Read Ephesians 5. The analogy of the Christian marriage is Jesus and the church. Like it or lump it, that's just the way it is. And if you don't want to live that way, why the hell do you get married for? I mean, there are worse things in life than living alone. I do all right. Some people need a whole board in their head and some sense poured in instead of prayer. Don't pray about your marriage. Well, if you're living with the guy I was living with, you'd pray. No, I would not leave him. I am so fed up with all this idiocy. Oh, I know what preachers are supposed to say. Yes, God save their marriage. Now, I do have sympathy for people when one person calls and they're married to a problem. That I can understand. But when the couple calls and says, pray for our marriage, you don't need prayer. You need to just deal with the problem. Ephesians got it clear. The thing's wrong with the modern world is there most people are all mixed up on what they're supposed to give in a marriage. About time I give a speech on marriage, some people think I'm against it. God's Word lays the formula down. The modern world doesn't want to live by God's Word. That's just the way it is. Most people want their cake and eat it too. That's the problem. Well, I want a career. Well, hell, have one. Find yourself a little old panty waist man to carry your briefcase around. There's some of them. There are a lot of kept men. They'd love to be kept by you. But you want to be Golda Meir? Pay the price. Get out of this cake and eat it syndrome. But if you want to marry, God ordained, the fifth chapter of Ephesians lays it down. The man is symbolized by Christ in his relationship to the church, and the woman is the church. Now, what does the church give Christ? Lordship, which is obedience, and worship. Now, that's going to make women madder than hell at me. Well, don't get married. Well, find yourself a little squirrel and stroke his tail. Fooled you on that one. You don't need prayer. You need some instruction. The church... Don't expect me to give the kind you're thinking about to you. Some things you got to learn the hard way, but I can give you the... Now, shut up and listen. We'll give you some music in a minute, Peter, and we'll clean the mess up. Paul's instructions on marriage... The woman is the church, by analogy. The husband is Christ. The church gives to Jesus two things: lordship, which being translated, it does what he wants. Like that. Well, I already told you, go marry a squirrel. Worship. Worthship. Life is designed in such a way that the man who goes out and makes the bread gets denigrated, knocked around, and has his self-esteem stomped on from morning to night, or at least that's what everybody's trying to do. There's only one place he can be king and have a sense of worth, and that's in his home. Now, I don't give a hoot or a holler whether any woman wants to do it or not. I'm simply the teacher telling you what the Scripture says. I repeat, go find some dumb squirrel and stroke his tail. Find a marshmallow and chew on it. But if you want the biblical way to solve a marriage problem, quit rebelling against the simple fact. The church gives to Jesus lordship and worthship. The wife that gives to her husband lordship and worthship is doing the role and meeting the need that God placed in man, and he can't help it. If he can't get it from you, he'll get it from somebody else. And this is one pastor who would say, go ahead. Serves the old broad right. Though I would say, leave her and start over with somebody else. Now, men are dumb. They give to women what they want. And God didn't create women as the recipient of that. He put a different set of gears in them, though it's hard to tell nowadays. And men are fool enough to give to a woman what God put in them as their need. They worship some dumb broad and put her on a pedestal, and she believes the advertisement. She's warped out of shape because that's not her role in the biblical frame. I don't care whether you like the Bible or not. I don't like a lot of parts of it. If you got a man that doesn't deserve it, leave him. You can't muster it up to play the role and give him that role, leave him. I don't believe divorce is the unpardonable sin. I think continual sin of living hell day after day is worse than just cutting the knot and starting over. Now, I know children make a difference. Too bad some of you started out stupid and tied yourself down. You got to pay the price. You're never going to solve your marriage problem until you understand what a man's needs are. I don't care how much you try to educate him out of it. He's going to find a woman, even if she lies to him, that treats him as though he's Lord and worth something. Street women have learned to fake that for years. You wonder why they steal you away, your man away. A woman is made to have what Jesus gives the church. And he gives the church two things: love and security. Now, security is more than monetary security. It includes such things as your yea being a nay and your nay being a nay, being predictable, being where you'll say you'll be. I know it can't be faked. I know I'm secure in the love of Christ to the point he would sacrifice himself for me. Now, most true marriages start out with love somewhere, and somebody gets off the track. They start out with the necessary ingredients. And Emerson said it years ago, when love flies out the window, there's nothing harder to get back. You can work your head off Once it flies out the window, it's hard to get it back in. Now, don't decry the man in the old romantic notions that starts out loving you enough he'd die for you. And when you have that, you better grab it and start practicing the lordship and the worthship. Most marriages fall on the rocks because a woman pits her ego against the man. You can't have your cake and eat it too. If you want the security and the love, you better give the lordship and the worthship. If you want the lordship and the worthship, you better give the sacrificing love and the security and the price that goes with it. Now that's God's analogy. The ideal of the marriage is the church in its relationship with Christ. If you've got a different ideal, have at it. But in God's name, don't ask me to pray. Because if I'm going to pray, I'm going to pray that you will do. God ain't going to answer any prayer that's contrary to His will. He said the kind of marriage that He wants. You can have any kind you want. You know, open marriage, no marriage, any kind of marriage. But most people don't need prayer, they need teaching. Then they need to get in the closet and pray for themselves to play their role properly. I still repeat, if you can't play your role, don't prolong the inevitable. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. Play the song. Now, you got a rare exception to a unwritten rule I live by. It'll probably be several years before you get that exception again. I don't get on those subjects. I don't mess in people's personal lives. I don't counsel. I just preach the word. I'm telling you what the ideal is. But at the same time, I'm telling you something else. Individual cases have to be very alert to the fact that there are lots of people that abuse God's word and use it to club people. It's that paradox of spiritual relationship. If you give to God, you're going to get from God more than you'll ever give Him. But if you give to God to get, you have missed the paradox. You haven't really given. It's a paradox of going up. You go down to go up. But if you go down in order to go up, you've missed the paradox. I tell people who call me and say, do you counsel before marriage? I say, heck no. If you need counsel, don't get married. I'm old-fashioned. I still believe in love. I had an English teacher once in Chico State. He stood up and violently went at it for 30 minutes, putting love down. Well, after I listened to him a while, I could understand he probably had never experienced it. When it happens, you know it. But when the relationship starts, you better remember the ideal of Christ and His church. And a man who sacrifices and provides security to get lordship and worship will never get it. I'm just stating an existential quality that God's word says are the needs of a man and the needs of a woman. And you better understand those truths of God's word. I don't get into these things very often. I've gotten old enough and philosophic enough to know I can't straighten most people's messes out. Only God can. And what they don't need lots of times is prayer. They just need some common sense. Most people, when they want you to pray for them, they're secretly hoping that you'll pray to change the other one. And they don't want much changing. I'm a little harder to fool than some sentimental pastors. I'm looking for the uncommon man that can work out his own problems. We've got a whole generation of problem solvers, psychiatrists and bureaucrats. Don't know who in the world solved the problems of that poor mail-order woman that traveled on a wagon all the way across the country to raise kids from some frontier man that sent her a letter. Don't be such a baby. Get up and face up to the responsibilities of life. When you make a vow, you better keep it. And I have always said you don't have a marriage until you psychologically rule out separation as an answer. But when it reaches the stage that separation is the only answer, it'll hit you in the face. Then don't tarry. That's all you get from me. Free. That's it. I stay off of those subjects. I have much bigger subjects to get on.